I'm very grateful. Amen. A couple of things, Karen, let me remind you of. I can tell because she puts them in front of me. If you want to buy one of the Way of the Cross and Holy Week devotional booklets, we still have some. Or one of the cards, separate cards. If you want to buy them as gifts for others, I believe it would be a blessing to them. This conference we have coming up in October, 10th through the 12th. It's called the Lovesick Christ. It's a conference on the Song of Solomon. And I've been teaching the Song of Solomon for about 40 years, so I'm excited about doing a conference dedicated to it. The interesting thing, how the Lord does, I had somebody called Karen, actually, and called them back. We got to talk, and it was somebody who, 38 years ago, I had the privilege of speaking in their life about the things of being a man in Christ and being in union with Christ. And we've kind of gotten disconnected over the recent years, but he just called me up. He didn't know anything about this conference. He called me up and he said, or this one coming up, he said, I just want to thank you. Let me start this by saying, because this isn't what I'm going to tell you is not a boast. The first time Ian Thomas mentored me more at a distance, and then I met him later. And the first time I ever met him, and I heard him preach, and I went to him, it was a large church in Birmingham, went to him afterwards and said, Major Thomas, this is one of the coolest things I ever learned from him. He said, I just want to thank you, because the things that you have taught, that you shared about Christ in you, has totally transformed my life. And he said, that doesn't surprise me a bit. He said, because that's what the truth is intended to do. And it had nothing to do with him. He was just saying that's what truth does. And Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. He's the truth of the Christian life. He's the way to live the Christian life. He's the life of the Christian life. This guy called me up. He said, I just wanted to call you out and tell you that I love you. And that what you shared with me, and we spent a lot of hours together, but in my life 38 years ago, changed my life forever. Has been the foundation of my life and the most important thing in my life all these years since. And when I lost my wife 2.5 years ago, he said, I would never have made it through. It hadn't have been for knowing who I was in Christ. And I just wanted to thank you. I said, that's cool. And he said, and also he said, where I'm going to church, the pastor, is God trying to teach him some things. And so I just gave him a set of tapes that you did about 35 years ago. On the Song of Solomon. It was a 16-set series. And he said, I made them into CDs and gave it to him. And to his older guy, so I really wasn't sure if he'd be opening something that may seem new to him. He said, last Sunday he began to preach it, and he came to him and he said, this is what we've got to learn. And so it was just a cool thing. I was very grateful. Also, money. If you would like to give to As and Roars and you haven't had a chance to, or if you're repentant because you didn't give enough, you'd like to give more, then we're going to pass the plate and we would love for you to do that. Write checks out to As and Roars, or just put cash in, and we will put it to good use. I promise you. I kind of planned on us doing a little prophetic ministry, but I really think the Lord spoke to me that we're supposed to get to the Creamy Vanilla Center. And go ahead and do that. Try not to keep you any later than necessary. You've got the notes for this message. In a couple of places, I'll probably skip around some notes, but you've got them written down so you can go back and draw from them and just glean some stuff that's for yourself. Let it grow. I quoted a little part of this poem earlier today, maybe yesterday, but I want you to hear this again. It's been one of my favorite things over the years. It said, "My Savior, thou hast offered rest. Oh, give it then to me. The rest of ceasing from myself to find my all in thee. Oh, Lord, I seek a holy rest, a victory over sin. I seek that you alone should reign over all without and within." That was kind of where I was at all those years ago, crying out for victory. So let's pray. Mr. Sanford, would you pray for me, Roberto? I'm going to give you a chance at the end to do something very practical and physical in terms of a decision about what we're talking about. When whoever it is or however you discovered the gospel, when somebody presented you the opportunity to give your life to Christ, you made a definite physical decision. Maybe prayed some particular prayer like I did. And we're going to give you a chance to do that tonight, to do some transacting with God. All right? So let me just go through some of this. And again, I'll get to a few places because I think, you know, some of them are a little bit out of order maybe, and I don't want to linger too much. But just some preliminary statements is that, one, religion always begins with demanding. But Christianity always begins by bestowing. You have to understand, if it seems that sometime God expects too much from you, it's because He's already given all to you. You'll find yourself in situations where you go, this is just too much, this is just too hard. This is just, I can't do this anymore, I can't take this anymore. No, but He can. And again, if it seems that sometimes He expects too much, it's because He's given all. And so for Him, it doesn't seem unreasonable a bit. Because everything He's required of you, He's already placed in you in His person, the person of Jesus. Everything He demands of you, He's promised to perform through you. I love this verse again from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing that His divine power has already granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You started out the Christian life with everything in you, in your union with Christ, necessary for godliness. It was a gift. It's in a person. Again, we don't gradually grow into holiness. We grow used to holiness because of your union with Christ. Now, we may gradually discover and manifest by faith, but you don't get anything more. How could you get more than Him? Pertain everything, He said, that pertains to life and godliness. Being godly in everything that makes up your life. Being godly when you're driving in the car. Be godly when you're talking to your mate. Godly when you're at work, godly when you're alone, when you're watching television, when you're looking at your computer. He's already granted you everything pertaining to life and godliness. Every fresh blessing along the path of faith, every, quote, breakthrough that we experience is connected really to some new unfolding of the person of Christ to your soul. There's a revelation of what you already have in possession. It is true. But this is something that we know. It's a law in the spiritual life that Christ is to you practically what he is to your faith. You may have it all, but if you won't believe, you won't experience it all. Again, we don't attain victory. We began with victory. The victory that he attained in his death, burial, and resurrection. He disarmed the enemy. He broke the power of sin. And we're in union with him. We should be no more threatened by the devil than he is, or threatened by sin, defeated than he is. For the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holiness is Jesus living his own holy life through us, which is the only holy life possible to us. The good news is that he's our very life. Again, from Colossians, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when Christ, who is your life, not your helper, not your buddy, not just your friend, but your very life. Paul said, for me to live, in Philippians 1, is Christ. Up against the impossible, we always encounter him. Our extremities are always his opportunities. Now we kind of, I'm not much at titles, but we gave this since I'm doing notes, I might as well. We're calling this the outliving of the indwelling Christ, because the practical question is simply this: knowing that I'm in Christ and that Christ is in me, alive in me, how do I get that life to come through me? How do I get this thing to come forth? Alrighty? That's tonight. So in a lot of ways, this is the most important session of all. Because I don't want this just to be wonderful revelation in theory. I want you to have the practical how to the who to. Alrighty? Here's the thing you need to hear. Galatians 2:20 again. I'll read verse 19 and 20. We've quoted it a bunch of times. Very familiar. It's one of those refrigerator verses. You know, that you put in the magnet in your refrigerator. For through the law, I died to the law. Why is that? What does he mean by that? Well, the law said I was guilty of sin, and so that's why I had to be crucified with Christ. I had to pay for my sin. The law condemned me. It's all the law can ever do. Self-effort, trying to please God by your own energy, will only condemn you always. For through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. And killing me, being condemning me to death, I ended up having resurrection, new life. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. But hear what he says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now here's another one of those little grammar lessons. That's a present tense verb. That means it's actively present and happening right now. Jesus is not in the lazy boy of your heart, just sitting back going, well, just go do the best you can. I'm cheering your own. I'm interceding for you up in heaven, and I'm here. I'm your buddy. I'm walking side by side. It says, the word here is that he's actively living in me now. He's not dormant. He's not asleep. He's not passive. He's just actively living in me and looking for every opportunity he can to manifest his life through me. And that was true the moment you got saved. The switch was on. And the life of Jesus was bouncing around inside of you, pulsating, just looking for any opportunity where you might yield and believe so he can express himself. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through a person, not a formula, but through a person. And the language here again is that present tense. But thanks be to God who is continually giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is Christ actively living in you, I mean actively pulsating, bouncing around inside of you, from the moment you get saved, but he's doing that victoriously. He's a victor. Looking for any moment, any opportunity, any yes from you to manifest his victorious life in you and through you. You see, because all the promises of God are yes in Christ, and by him the amen through us. Victory and all those things are yours because of the finished work of Christ. But the moment we get saved, we're in him, he's in us, and he lives in us to manifest and make experientially real what's personally real. Jesus positionally provided victory and new identity, a new self at the cross. You died with him 2,000 years ago, buried with him, raised up with him, waiting for you to come along and go, yes. And then that which was positionally true became personally true. And now this victorious Christ is just roaring inside of you, prowling about inside of you, just looking for any yes that he might make experientially what's true about you and in you. How do I get Jesus Christ to come and live through me? That's not really the question, brothers and sisters. How do I stop preventing him from doing it? Because he's already pushing from the inside out. Every holy desire you've ever had since the moment you got saved is because Jesus was squeaking out of your spiritual pores when he could get a chance to. Your view about the Bible that changed, that was Christ. Your view about culture, about what's moral, what isn't, that was all Jesus. Those moments when you had peace, you may not have known it was him. You thought you just learned some principle. That was Christ. When you found yourself loving somebody who's unlovable, that was Jesus. Forgiving somebody who's unforgivable, that's Jesus. Victory's a person. Remember what I read to you earlier? Holiness is the life. Jesus lives the life of holiness through us. Holiness is about victory. Wholeness. Jesus lives his life in us victoriously, wants to manifest that life victoriously through us. He's there. He's the victor. We just have to stop getting in his way. I'm already full in him with his fullness. And that fullness always has a freshness to it. Again, it's like a pipe with open on both ends. I've quoted this verse so many times, and the church is the fullness of him who is filling all, who's in all. The moment that you got saved, you are being filled with the fullness of Christ, and it's a fresh fullness every moment. It's never stale, it's fresh. I love this next little one. And that's the power of is. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is, and that's again present tense, is being right now in this moment, whether you realize it or not, whether you receive it or not, whether you say yes to it or not, my grace is being sufficient for you right now, every minute right now. For power is perfected in weakness. Do you hear that? Didn't say my grace might be sufficient, my grace could be sufficient, my grace would be sufficient. My grace, and grace has a face, and that face is Jesus. My grace is being sufficient for you right now. So just celebrate it. Just say amen to it. Just give your yes. Give him your yes. And again, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and the literal translation should be, and the God of limitless ability has already abounded all grace to you. Not some grace. Not most grace. And the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you so that you always, not sometimes, not most of the times, not when things are easy, And the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you that you always having. Always kind of covers always. Always having all sufficiency, not some sufficiency. God doesn't want you to squeak by, barely make it through the day. The Lord's Christian life shouldn't be at the end of the day, I'm falling to bed, I'm barely made it, I've survived another day. Roxanne smiling at me. We had this conversation with our school teachers last year because when you go through this, when you get like start get this time of year and starts gets warmer, all children become demon possessed. It's called spring fever. Because they just get warmer, they don't want to get tired of school. And then teachers kind of like, I hear conversations like, well, we only got 4 more weeks, man. Whew. Finally, 4 more weeks is going to be so good. I'm going to get a break 4 weeks from now. I'm thinking, you don't think that helps stir up those little ones who are more vulnerable? No, you should finish climbing, excelling still more. Always having all sufficiency. His grace is just as sufficient in April and May as it is in September and October. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in everything, not some things, not most things, not in the work stuff, and I don't do good in the relationship part. Now, people say, well, I'm just not a good people person. Who cares? He is. Doesn't mean you have to run around and tell jokes, everyone. But you're not, there's no excuse for grouchy. Pouty. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you. You always having all sufficient everything may abound, have an abundance for every good deed. That kind of covers it all, doesn't it? There's not one thing you'll face the rest of this evening that God's not already abounded to you. The word abound means super bunch, more than enough, excess. There's not one thing, not one relationship, not one phone conversation, not one letter that you open, not one detail in life today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day that you're going to face that He hasn't already made provision in His person for free. You have His sufficiency. His grace is being sufficient right now. I don't pray for it to be. I don't beg for it to be. I don't hope that it is. It just is. My grace is sufficient. It's happening right now inside of you. And we can either say yes to it and thanks and let it manifest or not. I've always heard this thing, oh, you know, don't ever ask God for patience, because if you do, you know what will happen. I hate to break it to you, but patience already resides in you. You started off with all the patience that Jesus has. You don't get more. You just have to say yes to what the all you have. He's already... I talked to somebody just really recently, who was injured and wounded in some situation, and their thing was, they're going to struggle. And so I was talking to somebody else about it, and they go, yeah, I agree with them. I wouldn't have anything else for that person anymore either. I said, what? Really? You wouldn't? Really? No, that'd just be too hard. Really? Is that what Jesus did at the cross? Father, I'm really irritated at their attitude, so just fry them. But that's the Christ we're in union with. Yeah, but it's a risk, and I might get hurt again. Well, wah. He's big enough for that, too. I tell this story, it's true, it's written in my original Bible. When I was first starting to learn some of these things, all those 40 years ago, worry and fear, I told you, was my big thing. And I was like a professional at worry. And people in my family were professionals at it. And I remember the Lord telling me one day, he said, okay, Chuck, here's the deal. There are some things you can worry about. And it was relief to me. Because I felt guilty that people kept telling me I couldn't worry. It was a sin. So I felt guilty about sinning, but I couldn't seem to stop worrying. So I felt relieved that, okay, I can worry about some stuff. I said, okay, cool. He said, yeah, anything that I'm not big enough for, you can worry about. And I wrote that down and thought, oh, that's not right. You tricked me. And I wrote it down in that cover of my Bible. I can worry about all those things he's not big enough for. Remember the passage in Colossians? We talked about this the other day. He says in verse 8, chapter 2, but now you also put them all aside, anger and wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech in your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. And you've put on the new self. And that word put on is just to sink into. You've put on. You sunk into a new self when you said yes, when you were born again. Who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him, a renewal of which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew and circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. But here's the new self. Let me sum it up for you. Christ is all, and he's in all. The only issue is, does Christ still want to have something to do with that person who hurt you? Is Christ able to do that? Is there grace for that? Is there an app for that? Yes. I remember when, if you ever heard of Peter Lord, he was a great, great preacher in the 20th century. His wife was amazing, Johnny Lord, and Peter had this really bizarre, strong personality. He traveled all over the world, preached, but really there would be streams of people in their house for counseling with Johnny Lord. Because years and years ago, she too, like I was, had a breakdown and was mentally ill. And they were at Peter Lord's family's ranch in Jamaica. And they were going to a Keswick conference there on life in Christ, and she just decided to go. She had gotten out of the hospital and went. And she came home from the conference, and Peter didn't go, and he said, well, Johnny, how was it? She said, well, they talked about Christ being my life, Christ being my joy, Christ being the patience, Christ being my strength, Christ being my purity, Christ is my peace, Christ is all this, Christ, Christ, Christ. I don't need to ask for strength. He is my strength, yada, yada, yada. She said, just open my eyes to see so much. And she said, then they said this, if this is all true, I've got good news and bad news for you. Here's the good news. You'll never face anything ever again that Jesus isn't big enough for. But the bad news is, you'll never have another excuse. And it transformed her life. She became one of the richest people I knew in the Spirit. And it was through her testimony, her transformation, he got changed and transformed. And became one of the great speakers in America about life in Christ. John 15. Verse 3, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Branches don't produce fruit. That's self-effort and performance, but they do display fruit. They bear fruit. So it's in your notes, I'm just going to read this to you. How does the branch get the life of the vine out of the vine into the branch? The sap? How do you get the life of Christ work come through you? How does the branch get the sap out of the vine into the branch? The branch is part of the vine. They are one. I am in the vine and the vine is in me. I don't have to try to pull the life of the vine into me, the branch. Instead, I simply have to remember that I am one with the vine and that that life is flowing and I can simply rest in its rich supply. Can the vine have anything that the branch not have? You see, when you talk about a vine, here's my great test this week. It's not just been the notes, but I can't stray very far because of all the dear people on Facebook. We'll fix that next time, so I gotta move. The word to abide simply means to remain or rest in. That's all it means. That's what the word literally means. To remain or rest. And when you talk about a grapevine, you don't go up to a grapevine and go, "Whoa, that's a beautiful stem and what gorgeous branches." You just go, "What a healthy vine." And when you talk about a grapevine, you're talking about the branches and the stem and the roots and the leaves and the fruit. That's all the vine. The branch is one with the vine. The branch is in the vine, and because the branch is in the vine and the life of the vine is in the branch. You're part of the vine called branch, through which the vine bears fruit. And so if you're one with Him, can the vine have something and the branch not have it? Can Christ have wisdom and you not have it? Can Christ have joy and you not have it? Can Christ have peace and you not have it? Can Christ have moral victory and you not have it? Can Christ have patience and you not have it? Can Christ have mercy and forgiveness towards people and you not have it? Can Christ have power and anointing to minister to people and you not have it? Or wisdom and you not have it? That's not possible. When you go to a bank and you put your hand out to the teller, and the teller says, "I cannot give the check, cash, I can't give this cash to the arm. I can only give it to Mr. Jones." Well, that's stupid. They would never say that. Why? Because the arm is part of Mr. Jones. We were baptized into Christ. We've been plunged into His life. If I were to say to Anna or to Abby and say, "Look, would you go to the store and pick this up for me?" They wouldn't care what it was I asked them to do, knowing that I gave them sufficient provision to get it. It's irrelevant to them what it is. All that matters is I give them enough to do it. It's irrelevant what God calls you to do. Faithful is He who calls you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the King James. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. To be a husband, He'll do it. To be a wife, He'll do it. To be a mother, father, He'll do it. To whatever job you have to be, He'll do it. To be in the ministry full time, He'll do it. To take care of someone who's very hard to take care of, He'll do it. And you never stop discovering. Again, I've been walking this for 40 years. Just this last fall, Libby and I went through the hardest place we've ever been through for several months. And I basically was at home and taking care of her. It was 24/7. I didn't sleep much for 2 months. And the Lord stretched me because I found myself complaining and sort of saying, "This is just too hard. I can't do this. Well, yada, yada." And all I was doing was just clogging up the victorious life. It was trying to manifest it through me. And being tired is real, I understand. But you know His grace is sufficient for that too. It's not an excuse for sin. It's not an excuse to have an attitude. So it was a great learning thing for me. After all these years, there was like this, I felt like there was this thing that came forth more in me. But it came out of failure. But here's the cool news. He talks about us practicing righteousness. So he didn't mind us practicing. Practicing means you don't get it all right, but you're moving in that direction, right? So here's the cool thing. Here's the other thing he's victorious over, your sin. So when you blow it, he's made provision for that too. And here's the other cool thing about that. You see, when I blow it, it wasn't Jesus that blew it. It was Chucky. And I just stopped saying yes to the victorious life of Christ that's wanting to push its way out, and I just took over and did it myself, and I'm the one who sinned. And when I've sinned, I don't have to go, oh my gosh, I've sinned. Now I gotta, it took me years to get to that place in the Lord. And I gotta go start way back at the beginning. You ever felt that way? No, that's a lie from the devil. Because the victorious Christ was the only reason you were living victoriously before. And he's there waiting for you just to start abiding again and pick up right where he left off, where you left off. It wasn't him who sinned, it was you. And it doesn't matter whether you walk with the Lord 50 years or for 2 months. Any victory you're experiencing is because of him. And even after 40 years, if you've blown it, he's there prepared to manifest his victorious life again once we just start saying yes and thank you again. To me, that's amazing. That's awesome. That's liberating. Remember what I said to you earlier, yesterday, I think. Faith isn't believing that he can or praying and hoping that he will. Faith is trusting that he is. Get that inside of you. You were born in victory, fully equipped, in union with Christ. He's living in you like a roaring lion victoriously right now. And so you don't beg him. You find yourself in a place where suddenly something comes, a person who's frustrating your life comes and these emotions begin to rise up. What do? You go, yes, Lord, to your peace and your patience and your love for this person, thank you. Why do I add the thank you? Because I believe that it is. I'm not going, yes, Lord, and then kind of hoping it'll happen. I don't live by sight. And again, faith doesn't wait for manifestation. Signs and wonders wait for faith. And to not get impatient with the irritating person is a sign and wonder. It's Jesus. Everybody hearing me? So you're so quiet, you're making me think, aren't you understanding me? I want to make this so simple, one step at a time. If Christ is living through you, what do I do to get Jesus to live through you? Nothing. Just start yielding more and get out of the way so he can manifest as much as he wants to. Just start saying yes. And thank you. Why thank you? Because then you're believing and trusting that he is. Not praying that he will, believing that he can. I'm trusting that you are right now. Because your grace is sufficient. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you that you always having. If this moment is part of the time frame called always, you've already got. Amen? This is why we said, this is what it means to enter into his rest. Living by the faith of the Son of God in union with him. Because you see, he honestly believes he's bigger than that emotion that's rising up in you. He believes he's able to love that person who's so unlovable, who's mistreated you. He actually believes that he's victorious over that immoral thought or that greedy thought or that envious thought or that jealous thought. He really believes he's conquered all that. And he really believes he can manifest that victory. He believes that. Do you know that? He believes when you stand up to give a word, that's why I find myself begging people. I'm going, stop making me beg to give you a word of knowledge. Every one of you can get a word of knowledge. I should be able to act the way it should work is or prophecy, because anybody can prophesy. It may not be your ministry gift, but if you get in the setting, somebody says, well, let's just see what God's going to say, and then, I mean, faith jumps. There's a wall. Jump. Trust that he'll make a hole in the wall. I mean, open your mouth and start out with yabba dabba do and just see what God will do. Something you got to do. Open your mouth. Faith looks like something. You know? Faith without actions is dead. Right? He said, well, what if I'm making it up? What if you aren't? Why not dare to believe that He is and just say it? And if you didn't get it, that's not the end of the world. We're practicing. We're learning, right? It's so simple. Again, I read you this verse a few times, Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. But let me read it to you again the way it should be translated. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church of the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose of God, which He carried out in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and confident access through His faith. Into what? The unfathomable riches of Christ. You already have. We have boldness and confident access because we're in union with Him. And He believes it. So again, faith doesn't start with what you believe. Faith starts with what He believes. You're in union with Him. So just yield, surrender, come into agreement with what He believes. And then go act like it is so. Talk like it is so. Even if it's not visibly so. Because you know it is so. He says it so. My grace is sufficient. I'm going to act like it is. By faith we take. And what we take, He undertakes. This is Hebrews 11, Hebrews 4. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Entering His rest. How attitudinally, like how much at rest do you think God is in His heart? Jesus, how much at rest do you think His emotions? Is He panicky? Is He flipping out? Is He wringing His hands? How much at rest do you think God is? That's the one you're in union with. He doesn't give us rest. He gives us His rest. We enter into His rest. You can't enter into it if it's not yours. It's yours. We live by His faith. Our faith is really just coming to agree with His faith. For indeed, we had the good news preached to us, just as they also, the Jews. But the word they heard didn't profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. See, you have all the unsearchable riches of Christ are yours. You had bold and confident access to it. But so many Christians live like spiritual paupers all their life, begging God for things He gave them. Made available to them, purchased for them 2,000 years ago. That became yours the moment you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, whatever prayer you prayed. So the question is, how do I increase my faith? By stop looking at your faith. One of my favorite passages now for the next 5 minutes is 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we believe not, He abides faithful because He cannot deny Himself. Wow. There's nothing you can do to make Him less faithful or more faithful. He's just faithful. So why not go ahead and believe? Because even if you don't believe, He's faithful. So go ahead and believe and let the faithful one manifest His faithfulness. Your believing doesn't make Him faithful. His faithfulness makes you believe. There's a difference. So get your eyes off of your faith and get your eyes on Christ, the faithful one. Faithful is he who calls you will also do it. And I'm trying to, over and over again, I'm trying so hard to make it so practical. So the next step, just go, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. What is it that you need in that moment? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it love? Is it courage? Is it wisdom? Is it victory over moral temptation? Is it whatever? Yes. Lord Jesus, yeah, you're my victory. Yes to your victory over this. Thank you. Yes to your peace. Thank you. Yes to your joy. Thank you. But what if all this stuff rises up in? Well, that's part of the old man that died. Yes to love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Or you get stuck someplace again, you're timing, or you're going to the airport and you miss your plane. It's really a tight thing. You go, and you might end up having to sleep on the floor in the airport. I've done that before, coming back from Africa. And you go, yes, it's your story, not mine. Thank you for your all-sufficient grace. There's no telling what you might want to be doing here. I may be sleeping on the floor next to somebody who doesn't know Christ. Or maybe they know Christ and don't know they're in Christ. Because everybody is a Christian's in Christ, but not everybody who's in Christ abides in Christ. Just rest in him. Rest in the celebrative, joyful fact that the life of Jesus is flowing through you. And what surrender and faith does is just gets out of the way and lets more come. That's all surrender does. Surrender doesn't make Jesus live through you. Surrender just goes, okay, yes. Like you've been trying to manifest your peace to me, but I keep trying to handle it. Yes, thank you. I keep trying to love this person, but okay, yes to your love. Thank you. It can't be that simple, can it? No, that sounds like something a child would believe. Yeah, a little child. It's wonderful. It's incredible. I've read this, and I know C.T. Carey probably get tired of hearing this, but this is one of my favorite statements. When C.S. Lewis was dating the lady he eventually married, and the way they met, she was from America, is that her son was like 10 or 11 years old, and he was reading some of the books, the Chronicles of Narnia. And so they were corresponding back and forth to each other, and Lewis said, and I think the boy had said, you know, I have some of my friends kind of making fun, I'm reading, quote, fairy tales, and so Lewis said this, "When I was 10, I read fairy tales in secret, and would have been ashamed if I had been found doing so. But now that I'm 50, I read them openly. When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childlikeness and the desire to be so very grown up." Little children will believe anything. He would like for us to believe everything that's true about him and us. And be like a little child. I mean, don't you think Jesus was childlike? Jesus, when he talked about being like a little child receiving the kingdom, he said, if you've received one of these little children, you receive me. What was Jesus saying? I'm the most childlike human being who's ever lived. I'm praying for a blind man, and I hear the Father go, why don't you spit in the mud and put mud in his eyes? There's not an adult in the world that would do something that offensive and that stupid. But a little kid would go, cool. See, because here's the deal. Surrender matters. Because of the degree that we surrender is the degree that we get to release him. We let the lion out of the cage that's roaring and already living. You can't get him to live through you. He's already trying to live through you. He's already living through you at some level. Just get out of the way so he can live through you more. Manifest more. That's so simple, isn't it? It's kind of like you're like going, you're in a situation and somebody's called 911 and you're standing in the door and you're going, where's the help? 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 And the guy behind you goes, if you'd get out of the way, I've been here for a while. Stop crying for help and move so I can go do what I got to do. That's the Christian life. We only experience the life of the Lord lived through us to the degree that He reigns as the Lord of our life in us. And one of the things I've discovered is that as you enter into this, give it away. Even if you don't understand it all, give it away. Because the more you talk about it, the more you give it away, the more the flow. It's a pipe that's open on both ends. You know what I'm saying, dude? Let go. Lay hold. Hold fast and hold forth. Let go. Surrender. Lay hold of everything Jesus is. Just keep saying yes. And hold fast no matter how bad the battle rages and no matter how many times you failed. It wasn't Jesus that failed, it was you. So just start abiding again because, start. And then hold forth. Just start decreeing and declaring. The enemy does not want that. He hates that. It just causes the flow to happen more. When Jesus fed the 5,000, He looked up to heaven and said, thanks. Because in His heart, He had already said, yes. You want to do what? With what? 5 loaves, 2 fish, a little sack lunch, a little boy gave. Yes. Because Jesus always did those things that was pleasing to His Father, so yes. And then He looked up to heaven before He ever saw the manifestation and said, thanks. And it says that the next day when they got in the boat, the day after Jesus had, the bread had been broken after Jesus had said, thanks. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he had been dead for 4 days. When Jesus goes to his tomb, He said, Father, not that you need to hear this, but so they can hear it, I just want to say thank you. It was a teaching moment. Yes, thanks. In your notes, if you pull out your notes, there's a hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. I tried to find it on a video, YouTube, whatever, but all the contemporary groups, they cut out some of the verses and it drove me crazy. And then the ones that did all the verses, it sounds like people from 1600s and so. I thought, well, we'll just do this a cappella. Because here's the decision I want you to make, if you're ready. You've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? I would like to know, are you willing to accept Christ now as your indwelling Lord and life? And if you are, I believe that there'll be a transaction between you and God. And the transaction will get into an attitude. I believe there is a place. Present your bodies, living in sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is reasonable service and worship. I think there's a place of transaction. And I'd like for us to do that, have transaction. I'm not going to lay hands on you. There are times to bounce off the floor. I don't give a flip if you bounce off the floor. If you bounce off the floor, cool. What I do want is for you and God to have a transaction. And I'd like for you, having accepted Him, He lives inside of you, let's accept Him, let's accept Him, let's embrace Him as your indwelling Lord and life. How about that word, embrace Him? You've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, let's embrace Him as your indwelling Lord and life. And then I want you to put a stake in the ground. I want you to write it down when you get back to your hotel or wherever you're staying, that on this day, I embrace Jesus as my indwelling Lord and Savior. Just like you did. You remember the day you, quote, got saved. Let's remember the day when you began to release the saving life of Christ in you. And I love this hymn. I want to just go over a couple of the verses. Because here's what I want us to do. You with me? And I want you to be very transparent. Right? I want you to go for it. Because we're going to get to a place in here, and if this is where you're at, there's going to be some place where it says, take my will, the next last course, make it thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it's thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Then that thing, take my love, that I'll pour. Take myself. I mean, that's kind of a group thing, but there's also in here places like, it says, take my life, let it be consecrated. Take my moments. Is Jesus the Lord of your schedule? And if not, as we sing this together, I want you to stand that particular part. And some of you might want to stand through the whole thing. But stand for that particular part, then you might want to sit down. And then when it says, take my hands, have your hands been His hands? Have you allowed Him to use your hands in ministering to the hurting? Have you put your hands to the task of things that weren't God's will? And if that's true, stand there. And then you can sit back down. Take my feet. Have you been going places that you shouldn't go? Have you gone places and sitting down and watching things you shouldn't watch? Then stand there. Take my voice and let me sing. God called you to be a worshiper, a worship leader, but you've been resistant and fearful, then stand. If you know it's a calling and you want Him to go for it and you're not going to hold anything back, Lord, Lord, your Lord, to the degree that you're prepared to honor Him as the Lord of your life, is the degree that you're going to experience Him as your life. Take my lips, let it be filled with messages for thee. What's come out of your mouth? Is it complaining? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it patience? Have there been people He's been asking you to speak the gospel to, but you've not done it? Then stand there, and then you can sit back down. And then if you come to another place, you can stand up again. You understand it's going to be like an accordion. You may stand up here and sit down, stand up here and sit down, stand up again three or four times, or if you want to stand the whole thing, you can. Take my silver and my gold. Is Jesus the Lord of your money? Do you honor Him? It's all His. Have you honored Him that way? Take my intellect. What do you spend your time thinking with? What is it that you read? What is your mind set on? Because we manifest what we're conscious of. Then stand there. Take my will. If there's just been some stubborn, rebellious thing that you just refuse to say yes to, then stand there. Take my heart. If you long for something, have you got some idols and things that you love that you know aren't Him? Is there a person that you're still moaning after? And yet it's not God's will for you. And it's time to let it go. Is Jesus the great love of your life? If not, then stand there. If you want your heart to burn more for Him, stand there. If there are things that you've given your heart to that He doesn't, then stand there. Take my love, the Lord I pour. At thy feet is treasure stored. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. So will you sing with me? So you got to pick up your voice, okay? Because I'm not a very good singer. But this is our act. Because I'm going to pray a little prayer with you right now. And then once I pray that prayer, we're going to sing this song. It's our act of consecration. So just follow along with me. If this is your heart, Lord Jesus, I thank You. That You took me to the cross. And buried who I once was. And I rose from the grave with You 2,000 years ago as a new creation. And I thank You that Your Holy Spirit led me to the place all that time ago when I said yes, and that I'm in union with you. And I know, Lord, that my sins are forgiven. I know that I'm going to go to heaven, but I say yes to you, Lord. And I embrace you as my indwelling Lord and my life. And from this point forward, Lord, I may not always get it right, and there may be places when I fall, but you're always going to be waiting there for me to abide again. It's going to be you, Christ, not me. Let's sing together. And again, if one of these reaches you, if all of it does, whatever, up and down, stay up, whatever. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Now lift your hand if you reach a certain place. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. And if we hit a place and it fits you, just lift one of your hands. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall not be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, of my Lord I pour. At Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Ever only all for Thee. Thank you, Lord. For a fresh, permanent, new kind of refilling. Thank you, Lord, that you have enthroned yourself as Lord of our hearts and as our very life. Thank you. We bless you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless all of you. All of you who've come for the conference and all the CTKers. Obviously, I'm always grateful for you. But all of you who've come, we love you so much. We're so grateful that you came. This has been so much fun. And hopefully we'll see you at the Song of Solomon conference. Maybe even before. You know, tell them what God might do. But bless you. We love you. You make our hearts sing. Amen? Amen. When you come back for the Song of Solomon, bring a bunch of friends with you. Amen? Okay.